Okay. My name is Tom Reynolds. I'm an emergency medical technician. I currently work at UCLA for the campus ambulance service. I manage the ambulance service. And just had a little story as was discussing about a particular call that I went on as an EMT. And we got a call. It was early in the morning, well, probably about 8:30, 9 o'clock in the morning. And we went to a private residence, and I was working for a private ambulance company that normally did a lot of transfers and interfacility transfers and that sort of thing. We get a lot of calls out of private residence that sometimes turned out to be just people wanting to go to the doctor, their doctor's appointment or the hospital, but sometimes we get pretty serious calls. This particular case, we get a call, and I believe it probably came down as a shortness of breath. We get there, and my intuition kicked in, and you come up on patients and you just know that they're in bad shape. You don't have to pull out any of your equipment. You just think this person doesn't look good or doesn't sound good. She was extremely short of breath, very ashen skin, somewhat altered, but still pretty with it, was able to answer questions. But I knew she was going to have to go and go pretty quickly. So we ended up putting oxygen on her. Meanwhile, I had two or three family members that were saying to me, oh, she needs to go to the hospital. You know, her doctor's going to meet her in the ER. You know, she has to go to this hospital, which was probably 10 to 15 miles away. And there were maybe three or four, maybe even five hospitals that we'd be bypassing. So I made the decision, no, we're not gonna do that. Explained to the family, you know, that she was in a pretty grave situation and we would be transporting her to the closest hospital. They kind of, I guess, subsequently agreed reluctantly. We ended up going to the closest hospital, transporting her there, get her into the ER. The ER nurse states that she was having an MI right at that moment. And later on, we found out she was going into renal failure. So, packed up our stuff, you know, went along with our day. My next shift was two or three days later. Come back in the ER, spoke to the nurse that was handling the patient. I said, oh, you know, what happened to that patient? I'm curious. He says, well, she coded right after you guys left. And I just went, wow, you know, so what happened? Oh, we ended up reviving her. And I said, wow, that's great. And I immediately thought that, you know, had I not made that decision, she probably would have coded on me in the back of the ambulance. And being an EMT, there's really not a whole lot we can do. Obviously, we can do CPR, administer oxygen, breathe for her. But I would have to divert to the closest hospital. And I earlier mentioned that we were bypassing hospitals, so I thought about my certification and things like that. So I thought that was very, very interesting. Couple days later, I talked to the nurse again, and he said that she ended up being transferred to the hospital she wanted to go to, and she was waving and smiling at the ER staff as she went out the hall. So that gave me a sense that I was making a difference, that I actually saved somebody's life, that I was trained to do, and it was probably the first moment that really gave me that sense of pride and sense of accomplishment, I guess, you know, that I was able to make the decision that created a better outcome for the patient. And it was just one of those very defining moments for me and made a big difference in my life and in my career. I never forget it. So I remember it very vividly. You know, it was like it was yesterday. I mean, I couldn't tell you the patient's name or who my partner was, but the situation and the scene, it was not that it was textbook, but it was more like your intuition, your gut was telling you that you got to move, you know. And we talk about that a lot, but I don't know if anybody or if a lot of people ever experienced that. Maybe they do, maybe they don't. But it was just one of my first defining moments where I experienced that. My gut told me, move and make a decision. And ultimately, it was the right decision for her.
Neat. Do you always have to trust your gut, or sometimes do you have to kind of...
Well, I've learned from different experiences, not necessarily dealing with the medical field or being an EMT, that your gut is right on most of the time. And sometimes we don't listen to our gut and bad things happen, it couldn't have been as good as if you listened to your gut and said, you know what, I should have listened to myself. I was telling myself that I should do that or I shouldn't do this. And you know, sometimes, most of the time, your gut is right, or at least in my experience, your gut is right.
Has there been a time when you've had to break protocol in order to listen to your gut, where it's like, do I follow protocol or do I listen to my gut?
I'm sure there have been. I don't, you know, I can't think of anything offhand, but I'm sure, you know, in being an EMT or being a paramedic and firefighter, there's always a case where you're going to have to do that just because there's not a specific protocol written for every little situation. And there's sometimes that you just, you know, what is best for the patient. And sometimes it's, you know, maybe not what the protocol says, because it's not a real life protocol, you know, that, you know, this is what it says in a textbook or this is what it says in a protocol, but out in real life in the field, it may not work.
Open Airways podcasts are produced by FISDAP with support from EMSresponder.com. All recordings express the opinions and experience of the speaker and do not constitute legal or medical advice. This and other recordings can be found at www.openairways.net.